with the right truths and foundations. And thank God for the foundation of what the church is and baptism, the church, and the Lord's Supper. But if you don't build love on that, all you got's a foundation. And God meant the love to be built on it. As Kay and Johnny come, and as the lights are turned on, we're only going to have one stanza of invitation. And God's laid it on your heart to come. I hope you'll come tonight. The rest is a personal matter between you and His Spirit. If you'll all please stand.
405.
We'll have one stanza, and we'll close with that one stanza. Quite frankly, it's very, very difficult to preach and teach the truth because a lie was gradually instituted down through the centuries, really becoming prevalent in the 1800s and being preserved and multiplying like mad in the 1900s to where now, this morning, across this country, millions of people are meeting in church buildings and probably less than 5% of them believe the church is local and visible. Therefore, it makes sense that 95% of the people can't be wrong. But that's ridiculous, because in Jesus' day, probably 99% of the people were wrong. Does that make Jesus wrong because he wasn't in the majority? Now, I've tried to show what God's plan was in having a local visible assembly called a New Testament church. I'm going to address a subject this morning that, quite frankly, some of you may look at and say, well, I never heard of that. A paper church roll isn't the true church roll maintained in heaven. Shirley maintains a roll of all the members. If she goes back, she can count them and tell you exactly how many are on the roll. You say, well, that's the way that Jesus Christ established it in his earthly ministry. That is not true at all. There was no church roll. They didn't have a church roll. And the way that a person was deemed to be in the church was, first he got baptized. That was the entrance into the church. But is someone that's saved and baptized, in God's eyes, a member of the local church? No. A person has to maintain faithfulness in that church, or he isn't a part of the church, no matter whether you put a name on his roll. We've got over 200 on our church roll right now. If you think God looks down at the names on that church roll and says, those are my church, well, I'm sorry, that isn't true. Another thing that happened when we began to develop these paper church rolls in about the second century, and I'm not opposed to them. I mean, that's great. Have the church roll. I'm not opposed to it. Don't get that idea. But gradually, after about the second century, when they started keeping names on a roll, those names became what everybody, by probably the 15th century, believed was the local church. And then the church began to take action to maintain the pureness of the church, and they thought that they maintained the church roll. God maintains the church roll in heaven. The reason for elimination from a paper church roll that we have was never known to Paul. Paul wanted people eliminated from those taking the Lord's Supper. When you exclude someone for shacking up with somebody and living in adultery, you're not telling them you can't come down here anymore and listen to the word. You can't come down here and assemble in this building, you're telling them you can't take the Lord's Supper anymore. Read the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That's what Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthian church. That man that's living with his father's wife won't stop the practice. He's going to continue it, and he's still coming down here and taking the Lord's Supper. Read it for yourself in the 5th chapter. And that's what Paul wanted the man excluded from, the Lord's Supper. But we began to extend it to other things. We began to try and keep God's church role on this earth, and we began to exclude for non-attendance and a multiplicity of other things. Well, to each his own. You know, if a church wants to do that, that's their business. And I do believe in exclusion. I do believe that if a person is practicing idolatry, he shouldn't take the Lord's Supper. And if he tries to take it, the church should tell him, don't do that. They should tell him, you're not eligible. And I do believe if a person is committing adultery, the person should say, you're not eligible to take the Lord's Supper with us. And they should make it clear to tell him, you are excluded from taking the Lord's Supper until you actually get that mess straightened out and repent of it. So all the things that are listed in the Bible for exclusion, which listed in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and heresy is listed in another place, they're all listed. But the reason those things should be performed and people should be excluded, it is not from a church role. A paper church role doesn't mean a thing. It is from taking the Lord's Supper. Now, a paper church role isn't the true church role maintained in heaven. Take a look at Acts 1:15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. How come he put the word about in there? Because they didn't have a church roll. I could ask Shirley to compute the exact number, and she could tell me who was on the church roll and who wasn't. In those days, they didn't even have church rolls. And the way that you determined whether you were a member of the church, you told the people, I've been saved, I was baptized by such and such, and it was always understood it was done by church authority. Everybody understood that. There was no universal invisible church heresy. There was no alien immersion heresy. None of that stuff existed. They didn't keep church rolls. That's why you see the word about. The number of names together were about 120. All right, who actually determines what the true church is? If the paper church roll isn't the true church roll, then what is the true church roll? Well, contrary to popular belief, it's maintained by God and not the local New Testament church. Now, the local New Testament church is required by God's commandments to exclude people from taking the Lord's Supper. But they've got it down to where if they get their name off a piece of paper, they are keeping God's church clean. If you exclude people who are being guilty of practicing those things that are mentioned for exclusion, you are keeping the church clean, but it's more than a name on a church roll. Now, what is the true church? The number of names together being about 120. Revelation 3 and 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. This was written to a local visible assembly in Sardis, a local New Testament church. It wasn't written to a great universal and visible body of believers. It was written to a local visible assembly of people who had all been baptized by immersion, by church authority, in a place called Sardis. Here is your true church, true church, maintained by God in heaven. Revelation 3, 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. These people were practicing in the local church the things that Christ had commanded, and they were faithful in the local church. That's who's in the true church. And those are the ones that God looks upon as being a true local visible assembly of people who have put on Christ and are practicing the things that Christ taught. We've got over 200 members on our church roll. Some of them haven't been to church here in 15 years or more. Do you really think that they can be considered by God as members of the local church? No. By their very act of not assembling together all these years, they are no longer a part of the church in God's eyes. You say, well, how could they become a part? The word ecclesia for church means a local, visible, called out assembly. They can start assembling with us again. And then they are a part of the church. But the paper church roll isn't the true church roll maintained in heaven. It never has been. We spend so much time trying to maintain that piece of paper and alienate so many people in so doing by misconstruing the instructions of God to use exclusion simply as a means of telling people that were scripturally baptized and were assembling together, do not assemble to take the Lord's Supper with us because you are not in fellowship, an exclusion for heresy, adultery, idolatry, lasciviousness, covetousness, idolatry, and the whole stick, all of them, is to tell that person, you are not eligible to come and take the Lord's Supper among us because of your conduct that God's Word says prohibits you from the fellowship of the Lord's Supper. We think it's taking a name off a church roll. It isn't. It's strictly telling them, no, you cannot take the Lord's Supper with us. Now, God knows best. And this thing of the local church, I know that there are people who think that I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do. And the Lord, the church, is a local visible assembly of scripturally baptized believers who are coveted together. They have made a covet among themselves that they are going to serve God. What God desires for every human being. Now, these are God's instructions. So I beg you, please, don't look at what I'm presenting as opinion. This is what God says He wants from you personally and from me personally. Then they that gladly received His word. Gladly received His word, the word gladly means with joy and anxiously. It was good news. When I discovered that I did not have to go to hell and suffer eternal condemnation in hell and eventually the lake of fire because of what Christ had done at Calvary for my sins, when I realized He had died for my condition, then that was the best news I had ever heard in my life, and I received it joyfully. And I was ecstatically happy that I did not have to go to hell. Well, what eventually happened after I got saved? Acts 2, 41-42. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Well, they put my name on a paper church roll. But as far as God was concerned, the fact that I had gladly received His word is what made me a child of God. It's what made me a son of God. It's what made me a child of God. And Christ came and indwelt me when I received His word. The promise that He would never leave me nor forsake me, it was there. And it's true and it's genuine, and I can never lose my salvation. I was a full-fledged, born-again son of God the moment I received His word. What happened next? We're baptized. That is the entrance into the church. We have now made it where you put your name on a church roll to show you've been baptized. Am I opposed to that? No, not at all. Do I want to do away with all church rolls? Absolutely not. But I want you to understand, they didn't have church rolls until about the second century. And so baptism merely makes you eligible, having been baptized, to become a part of the church in God's eyes. Baptism is the entrance into the church. How do I know that? I want you to notice what all these people did here that were saved. At least those who were baptized. It doesn't say that there weren't others there that received it and weren't baptized. So I can't say one way or the other. But I do know this. And the same day they were added unto them. Now who's them? That's the church at Jerusalem. And that day, those who were baptized were added to them by baptism, not by the new birth. New birth adds you into the family of God and you become a child of God. That's an invisible act performed by the Spirit of Almighty God on a man or woman's heart where they repent of their sins and trust Christ to save them. But baptism is a visible act performed in a local visible place in water where you see what saved you before you went into the water, a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now notice, here's that word about again. They didn't keep a record of this. Shirley Goins wasn't there. She didn't come down on the front and take down all 3,002 names. Nobody knew exactly how many were saved. And so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this man told you the truth. He said there were about 3,000 souls. But we go crazy over a church roll. We think if we take a person's name off a church roll, we have cleaned up the church roll. No, exclusion from the Lord's Supper is what exclusion is all about. The church roll is an incidental thing that man developed after this time. And how in the world did they ever function without a church roll? Why, they took people's word for whether or not they had been scripturally baptized. And that day and problem, there wasn't any time. In that day and time, there wasn't any problem with it. You want to see what the church is? Now here is the true church maintained in heaven. It has nothing to do with a name put on a piece of paper. Now I know that there are going to be people that listen to this tape and they're going to go crazy. They're going to say, well, he is a new lighter. I am not a new lighter. A new lighter believes that you do not become a son of God until you're baptized in the New Testament church, and I certainly don't believe that. But here's the true church. And they, meaning those that were baptized, as well as those to whom they were added, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, didaskalos, teachings, and fellowship, that's the Lord's Supper, and in breaking of bread, as if there were any doubt, the taking of the Lord's Supper, and in prayers, and that's a heartfelt, loving concern for the other parts of the local, visible body, and that's the true church maintained by God in heaven. That's it, period. So just because your name is on a church roll doesn't mean that God considers you a member of the church. First, you have to be saved to go to heaven. Secondly, you have to be baptized for entrance to become a part of the body of Christ. But to remain a part of that body, you must continue to be steadfast in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. The red that you see underlined there, verse 42, that's the true church. So sometimes people say to me, well, Brother McMurray, aren't you concerned about who used to sit here and who used to sit here and who used to sit here and who used to sit here? Sure I am. But they have chosen of their own volition not to be a part of the local church. You don't have to exclude them. They have by their own actions excluded themselves. We've got people who haven't been here in 15 years. We didn't have to exclude them. We didn't have to push them off a church roll. We didn't have to make them unmembers of the church. They have done that to themselves. The word church is ecclesia. It means a called out assembly. They aren't coming out anymore. Now, there are certainly exceptions to that. God is not a God with no understanding. And those who are no longer physically able to come, certainly God considers them a part of the body. But we don't maintain the church rolls in heaven. God does. And we have tried to clean up our church rolls and our churches for so long and made so many people mad because they didn't really understand what we were doing. And quite frankly, sometimes I don't think we understood what we were doing. And I'm sure people listening to this tape will get all uptight about it, but that's all right. Now let's take a look at what God wants. And there's no exception. This is nothing that you can say, well, this isn't what God wants. God says he wants it. Number one, this is what God wants of every human being. He wants it for every human being. He wants sonship in salvation through belief. That's the spiritual new birth. That's when you trust in Jesus Christ to save you from what you are by birth and by nature, and the indwelling Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes to indwell you. He seals your soul. He dwells there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You cannot lose your salvation, and you are a son or daughter of God. That's then they that gladly receive his word. The second thing that God wants is entrance into the local visible body of Christ. The local visible body of Christ, I've underlined in blue because that's the church. Entrance, I've underlined in green because that's baptism. Entrance into the local visible body of Christ through local, visible, scriptural baptism. And baptism is a visible putting on of Christ. Now, I have seen preachers and churches argue and split hairs and get violent because they say, you are not baptized into the church, you are fellowshipped into the church. I don't disagree with that argument. You are baptized as the entrance, but unless you actually continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayers, All you are a name on a piece of paper. And God does not consider you a part of the true church. The third thing that God wants from every human being, he desires it for them, as continuing, in the local visible assembly of Christ, that's the church. How? Through faithfulness to him. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers as the vine. Now, hopefully, I'll eventually get to the parable of the vine. And I'll relate that to the New Testament church. And I'll take time to go through and correlate it with what I've shown you here. But that's what God wants from every human being. That's what God wants from you. Now, you want to be a member of God's church and be faithful in it? First of all, you need to know in your own heart that you're saved. And there is no question that God says after you get saved, he wants you to unite with a church. And there is no question that after you unite with that church, God wants you to be faithful in it. So the question is not, what does God want for my life? The question is, do I want to do what God said or not? And it's that plain and it's that simple, and that's out of my bailiwick and out of my control, and thank God I have nothing to do with that. Now take a look at Matthew 28, 19, and 20. It says the same thing and covers the same principles as Acts 2, 41, 42. In Acts 2:41, and they that gladly received his word, that's sonship and salvation through belief, that's a spiritual new birth, were baptized. That's number two, entrance into the local visible body of Christ, the church, through local visible scriptural baptism, which is a putting on of Christ. And number three, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread and in prayers. That's the third thing God wants in your life, remaining in the local visible body of Christ, the church, through faithfulness to him as divine. But look at Matthew 28, 19, 20. It says the same thing in different words. Let's take a look at the first thing, sonship and salvation through belief, spiritual rebirth. Look at Matthew 28, 19, the first line. Go ye, ye is plural, referring to the first New Testament church. They were the ones standing there with him. He said, you, the first New Testament church, go and teach all nations. The actual translation of that, if you look it up in any source you want to look it up in, it means as you are going, make disciples. As you are going, teach them about me. Tell them about me. Let them receive me as Savior. That's the first thing God wants, sonship. Then what's the next thing the church is supposed to do? Number two, entrance to the local visible body of Christ through local visible scriptural baptism, a visible putting on of Christ. Well, what happens? Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's sonship. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's entrance into the local visible body of Christ through local visible scriptural baptism, a visible putting on of Christ. All right, where is your faithfulness? Remaining in the local visible body of Christ through faithfulness to him is divine. Take a look at verse 20, Matthew 28, 20. Teaching them. That's what I'm doing right now. Teaching them, those who are baptized into the local church, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, what is he supposed to teach them? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship of breaking of bread and in prayers. And who's always going to be there to help us? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, when you receive Christ at the point of salvation, when you exercise faith toward God and repentance toward your Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus saves you. The Holy Spirit comes into your soul and seals it. And you are as saved and as much a child of God as you're ever going to be. After that happens, God wants you to be baptized by water into the local body in which God's Spirit dwells in a special way. Lord knows, this Sunday school lessons I've been teaching, I have shown you that when the Holy Spirit came upon the local visible body at Pentecost, the Jewish body, then on the half-Samaritan, half-Jew body, then on the Gentile body, then finally on the people that had unscriptural baptism, I've shown you how God's Spirit came and immersed the first New Testament church, our churches, gave us four different places where he exercised it on bodies of people as his stamp of approval. So you could know that the Holy Spirit indwells the assembly. When you are baptized by water and you become a part of that assembly, then God's Holy Spirit teaches you and helps you and directs you in a special way that is not available outside of the local body of Christ. It's in the local assembly. The Holy Spirit is there. And so what we're talking about now are the receiving of the Holy Spirit internally and the sealing of the soul, followed by entrance into the local visible assembly where the Holy Spirit of God dwells in a fullness, a special way, and is there to teach. And so you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you are united through water baptism into a body that is practicing and preaching and teaching what Jesus taught them. But a member of the church is not somebody on a church roll necessarily. It's whoever's being faithful in that church. You can see the same thing in Matthew 11, 28, 29. Sonship, then they that gladly received his word. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Sonship and salvation through belief, spiritual new birth, and here it is in Matthew 11, 28, 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When a person comes to the point in time where they're under a heavy burden of guilt and sin, because they realize that hell is there, and they are afraid of death and of placing in hell, finally, in desperation, when they see themselves as helpless and they are laboring under a heavy burden of guilt and sin and they admit to themselves, I cannot do it, then they come to a person, Jesus Christ. This is sonship. This is salvation. Come unto me. You obtain salvation by coming to a person. And I will give you rest. He gives you personal rest. You don't ever have to worry about hell again. You don't ever have to worry about the condemnation of God again. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the same ingredients are here. That's number one, sonship and salvation through belief. But here is entrance into the local visible body of Christ through local visible scriptural baptism, a visible putting on of Christ. Here it comes in the first part of Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you. That's baptism. That's identifying with Christ. That's putting on Christ on the outside and not being ashamed of him. That's assembling together with others so that people can see your identity with Christ in a local visible place through a local visible act called baptism. Well, then how does someone maintain his position in God's sight in the true church role? Take my yoke upon you, that's baptism, and learn of me. The actual of, if you look it up in the original language, means from. That's what I've just got through showing you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you all the way even to the end of the world. That's when you learn of Christ. You learn what he's like. You learn how you need to be more like him. And you are maintaining a position as a member of a faithful person in God's church. And in God's eyes, that's the true church maintained in heaven. The idea that we maintain the church role down here, no. The idea that everything we do down here, God approves of as a church, that's absolutely ridiculous. The truth of the matter is, God maintains the church role, and we make an effort as best we can to keep it as pure as we can and to prohibit people from taking the Lord's Supper that we know are committing offenses that are worthy of being excluded from that supper. For I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Think about those people who haven't been here in 15 years. They don't have any rest. They cover it over. They put on an outward glib appearance. But inside they're full of frustration. They're full of unhappiness. They're full of bitterness. They never have anything kind much to say about the church. Most of it is based in criticism to rationalize their own unfaithfulness. They don't have any rest. They've never found it. I guarantee you the only place you're going to find rest is in God's local New Testament church. And I'll guarantee you that unless you're faithful in God's church after you've been baptized, you can put on all the outside veneer you want to put on. You can put all the pretense on you want to put on. You can say all the unkind things about the people down there and give all sorts of justification as to why you are assembling. But you don't have any rest. They don't have any peace. You're only going to find rest when you're a faithful member of the Lord's church and when God considers you by your conduct to be a member of that church. Now, I want you to notice you find the same pattern in Galatians. Remember, sonship and salvation through belief, that's number one. Two, entrance into the local visible body of Christ through local visible scriptural baptism, that's a visible putting on of Christ. Three, remaining in the local visible body of Christ through faithfulness to him as divine. Take a look at Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's sonship. That's when you have a new birth. That's when you accept Christ. That's when you exercise repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But here comes the entrance into the body. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's the local visible body. That's not talking about a spiritual baptism. You say, well, that's what the... Listen, most preachers this morning standing in pulpits are saying you get immersed into a local, into a universal invisible body. That teaching was never taught until the universal invisible church heresy came into existence. He says, for as many of you as have been saved have been baptized into Christ. The church is local and visible, and it is a local visible body of Christ. There's a local visible body of Christ meeting right here. There's another one meeting over at Russellville. There's another one meeting at Shiloh. There's another one meeting at Victory. There are other churches besides Missionary Baptist churches that are God's churches, but I'm just mentioning the ones I know because I know the pastor and I know the people. Entrance is by baptism. What's the purpose? For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. After you're baptized, then you're supposed to put on Christ. And you do that through faithfulness. Remaining in the local visible body of Christ through faithfulness to Him as the vine. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, if we've been born again in the Spirit, if we've been saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit by following God's commandments. You cannot walk in the Spirit if you will not submit to God's commandments. And the first commandment after you've been saved, Peter said, then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. You must be baptized to walk in the Spirit. You say, no, I don't think so. How can you claim to walk in the Spirit if the Spirit has made it very clear that as a child of God you ought to be baptized and you walk some other way? There is no other way to walk in the Spirit except to walk His walk. And it's very plain that God means for everyone to be baptized after they've been saved. Let us, he's speaking to members of the church at Galatia, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? That's what makes you a church member, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayers. For in due season we shall reap. We, members of the church at Galatia, if we faint not. Those who faint and quit and drop out of church and never come back, they're not on God's church road. They're on ours, but they're not on God's church road. As we, referring to church members at Galatia, have therefore opportunity, let us do good. What is doing good? Doing good is following God's commandments. You get saved, you get baptized, you get in God's church, you get faithful to it, you learn the things of God, you practice the things of God, and you do good to all men. But notice, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Baptism, after salvation, is the entrance into the church. And afterwards, it is a growing love and a concern for the members of that local church that allows you to exercise the gift of love that God gave you when His Son came to indwell you. And these are very simple principles, but they have been greatly corrupted by false teaching. And Paul, I say as Paul said, I fear that your minds have been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is the simplicity that God wanted from men, but the devil has been successful in corrupting it, and he has told a lie for so long to so many people, and so many preachers have picked it up, that I'm almost like a cult, I suppose, a cult teacher, rather than a teacher of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This was never taught as spiritual baptism at the point of salvation until about the beginning of the 1800s. And then somebody got the brilliant idea that whenever you get saved, you get baptized into this great body of God. That isn't true. The Spirit of God indwells the local New Testament church in a special way. Oh, he's everywhere, and he saves outside the church. The reason we baptize by church authority, the Spirit indwells this church. When the Spirit of God is in the baptism, when you vote for it and approve it, and if the candidate is saved, the Holy Spirit of God puts his approval on the water baptism. I baptize by church authority. And what happens, the Spirit of God, through a local visible act of water baptism, places you in a local visible body, and he's the one that places you in that body, and you become a partaker of him in a special way where he watches over and protects you outwardly. That's why they told the church to put the man out at Corinth, because he was living with his father's wife. He was under the special protective aurora of the Holy Spirit in the church, and he was still coming there and assembling, and he was still taking the Lord's Supper. And Paul said, stop him from taking the Lord's Supper. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's water baptism. When I was a young minister, I got as mixed up as some of those guys that are out there teaching that Spirit baptism at the point of salvation. And I got to believing that was true. It is not true. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, this has nothing to do with race, creed, or origin. Whether we be bond or free, slave or free, and have all who have been baptized into local churches, made to drink into one Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells this local visible body in a special way. God's Spirit meant for us to have a special love and relationship one to another. If you don't have it, maybe it's because you didn't realize the Spirit was there. And the Spirit of God, you drink of the Spirit of God outwardly. He comes to indwell you inwardly at the point of salvation. But to drink of the Spirit, you need to be in the place where he is in a special way. And that's in a local New Testament church. And it's about 11 minutes till. And so I'll take, for the body is not one member. Now look at that. For the body is not one member, verse 14. If that were individual Spirit baptism that you got at the point when you trusted Christ, then that would be one member. You would have trusted Jesus, and all of a sudden, you would be a single individual baptized by the Spirit of God. But that isn't what that says. The body, the local visible body of Christ, is not one member. It's not an individual Spirit baptism, but many. The Spirit indwells the local church. And as long as you are a part of that church, you have the special outward aurora protection of God's Spirit. You'll always have God's Spirit indwelling you when you've been saved. And so each local visible church, God's Spirit dwells in it. And when you become a part through water baptism, you partake or drink or partake of him as he exists in that local visible body. It's a shame we have to go through all this, but it has been greatly corrupted. And so I'll close for now, and we'll take a short break.